for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everyone, what's going on? Welcome to the special edition House and Family Christmas Day Warm Down. It's probably the longest title I've ever had. Hope you're having a good Christmas and you've managed to sneak away and watch us lot just talk utter nonsense about United for however long this is going to be. So I've got Jaden, I've got my granddad and I've got my dad, and we're just going to sit here and talk about... Well, you've suggested a lot of topics for us on Instagram, so I'm going to go to Instagram and get loads of topics. But I think the first thing we need to do is to really identify which team is ours. So we'll start with you, Dad. Which team's your team? If you have to go, that's my United team.
What year?
Yeah, which season's yours?
Probably 76.
Really? What a random one.
No, when they come back up and they started playing decent football, got to the cup final, and then from there we kicked on, obviously after Doc, with Atkinson and everyone else.
It was a long while ago, that, wasn't it?
A while ago, that, yeah.
No, but it's a long while between that, 76, to get to anything.
Yeah. Because yeah, but I mean, that was Ferguson. The start of the decent
But that
football.
Feels like your team. If you close your eyes and go, that's what United means to me, it's that team.
That was the start of the decent football.
No, I didn't ask you that. I don't know, what's your team? What's the team that you go, that's my boys? That 1 to 11. Love the fucking lot of them.
I haven't got one.
Really?
I haven't got a favourite year. I just think that 76 team was like, we come out of the black, if you like, going down, coming back up, Doc with his wingers and all the mad shit that was going on, getting to the cup final, and then back in the first division and away. Yeah, we didn't win anything for another 17, 18 years, but that was the start of decent, when it was fun to go to a game again.
I just think it's a weird one to choose as your team then, if you like. Just want to know which is the team where you go, that 11's my 11.
It was all of them. You know, you had Buchan and them at the back, Gordon Hill, Coppell, Pearson up front, Jerry Daly. You know, that was a side that just went forward.
Have you seen that doc yet? That you didn't come to the premiere for? No. Oh, you're going to love it. It's absolutely amazing. I'll try and get a download copy for you to watch. Pop, what's yours? You've got only from 1950 onwards, I guess you can claim.
It's very, very hard for me, isn't it? When you think of the 48 side that won the FA Cup.
Your programme's normally on.
After the war. You know, he started like Busby. But you've got all the great side. They won 52, they won the league with Jack Rowley and all them people, Johnny Carey. But in between of all that, when you think about that, the Babes coming, and they won the Youth Cup 5 years on the run.
They were all right then, yeah?
Think about it. Yeah, and then they coming into the side. Roger Byrne, he was like 52, wasn't he? 51, 52. And then they all started creeping in, like Duncan Edwards.
So that's the team you're leading to, is one of the 50s?
No, well, it's very hard then, because they won it in 55 and 57, didn't they, the league. So they won the league three times in the 50s, before the crash, like, obviously. But, of course, you've got to look at it in the 60s. It was unbelievable what he'd done, Busby.
So what did you say then? Big year?
I can't get one. Can I
need you to. That's the whole point.
Well, after the crash, obviously, you've got to say 68.
68 side.
You've got to do. Because when you think about it, you only bought three players.
Was there the favourite team that you got in your memory to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, 68. Yeah. Over the
Only because of that. Well, the Chebble side was great and all, but when you think about that side, the 68 side, he bought three players. All the rest was your team. And everybody said, oh no, you after the crash.
Who's the three bought? Stepney,
Creddon, and Dunn.
And, well, Laura as well.
He didn't play in it.
Oh no, that's just the final. He was there for the season,
wasn't he? Yeah, but he was in hospital when he found it. But, and when you think about what they cost, Dunn was only £5,000. from he was a kid really from Dublin, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I've no idea what that means in today's money.
5,000.
I've no idea what that relates to because I think Dennis Law. I think you have to look at the turnover of the club to look at the value of the transfer.
Well, think about it at the same time. Stepney was 60, wasn't he?
60k.
And Credin was 60 or something.
Wasn't Law 100?
Yeah, 110 money, Law.
Law, yeah, 110 or something. Yeah, but when you think of that team, it went out, it was 130,000 or something.
I know when we signed, because people were going on about Pogba. Pogba, when you look at the turnover of the club, was like 20% of the turnover. You know, we turned over 400 million, it cost 90. It's 20%-ish.
Right.
With Robbo, and I think with the Lawman as well, I think they was like 40 and 50% of the turnover at the time.
The yeah. biggest buy before Law, obviously, was Quicksall.
Albert Quicksall.
65 grand money from Sheffield Wednesday.
Game's gone.
But when you think about it, then go back to that 68 side. He was before that,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah, didn't he play against us in the 58 game following the crash for Wednesday?
Yeah.
He played in the 63 cup final.
He played in the cup final for United, 63. So 5 years later, he only had, he cost 65,000, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then he only, Stepney and Credin, who were top guys, they only cost 60 grand. So they only, 130 grand, say, was that side that won the European Cup.
It's not bad.
Isn't it? That's why it's a great side, that.
What's yours? What's your favourite team that you've seen? Don't say yes. Don't say yesterday.
If I can't say yesterday, then I'd probably say 2012-13, last time we won the league.
Winning the league?
Yeah.
Do you not remember the 08 side?
No, I was two. I wish I could say it, because I've seen the highlights and stuff now.
Well, you went to every game. Two. You went to pretty much every home game, anyway.
I was two, though.
About the 2011 side that got to the European Cup final?
I don't know. I think my favourite United moment ever, us two was in the Village, and it was like the 93rd minute, and when that RVP banned that crossing, honestly,
for the City game.
Beers was in the air.
What was that? Was that the year we won the league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had like sort of red checkered kit.
Yeah. So that's your team, is the last league winning team. Let's hope it's not the last.
That's the thing about yours as well. You was watching that, 68.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I thought you'd have mentioned that, actually.
No. Yeah, well, the one I remember properly, obviously, could go in and everything else, was that 76 team.
I'm torn between two, and I'm sure me and you are going to have an argument in a bit about which was the better overall, but between 08 and 99, for me, I think the 2008 team's the best team I've ever seen, ever. I think when you look at how powerful English football was at the time in Europe... We'd had a 10-year period where there was an English team in every final. That's mad. And at that time, United won three leagues on the bounce and got to three Champions League finals. That's the best United side that I have ever seen, bar none. But I think the treble team's my favourite. It was 14-15. And you don't realise at the time, I don't think, dear, that this is probably pretty special. You just kind of think this is pretty normal.
But you can't argue about it, treble. Treble side, kind of, no one's ever done it. But also, you know, that same side, they won the league 3 years on a run.
Yeah, they won. Yeah, the two times we've won a European Cup under Fergie, we won the league three times on the bounce.
That's right. But that was a good side, that treble winning side.
Called no shit.
Honestly, it was a little bit special. There. I got a guy that said to me, you know, if City win the league 2 years on the run, they'll be in the elite of Europe.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, he told me that.
Don't talk to idiots.
Honestly. And he was a good football fan. But he said, yeah, if City win the league twice on the run, they'll be in the elite of Europe. So I said, I might have talked about United. He said, oh, no, I'm not even talking about United. I said, right. So I left it at that. So they're going to be in the elite of Europe if they win the league this year.
Delusion.
No, but it's... So when you think back to what United did, they've won it three times on the run.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
But they won't talk about it.
No.
And if you look at the bookends of that as well, the 98 one, we missed out on it by... I'm sure when he's lost out on the league, it's been by a handful of points, 2-3 points at top.
Or goal difference,
yeah, when we drew it.
The Blackburn one.
Well, you go through the 90s one.
The last old. you know? League Championship.
No, no, yeah. 95 no, was no, 95 wasn't.
We won the league, the Premier twice then. And if Cole had scored a goal down at West Ham,
we'd
have won it.
We had about 100 shots.
And then we won it twice again. So it'd have been five on the run, that.
Well, yeah, you'd have gone 93, 94, 95, we absolutely should have. Cantona was banned. Yeah. You get Cantona back for all them games, you tell me we don't get another point. We get another point. We definitely get another point, or two.
At least.
We win it 96 with a double. We win it 97. 98, we miss out on it to Arsenal. I'm sure it was like 2 points or a point or something mental like that. We win it 99, 2000, 2001. And then Arsenal win it again in 2000.
Seven times in 9 years.
That's domination.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about
if
domination.
If they got the couple, that would been unbelievable, wouldn't it?
And a clean sweep.
And also in the European Cup finals.
Yeah. Arguably, and I think he knows it, he should have done better in Europe in that time. But when did the foreigner rule change? Was it like 97-ish, I reckon, the foreigner rule changed? Because I remember when Dortmund put us out 1-0 at Old Trafford, Cantona played, I think Solskjaer played. There was foreigners in that team. Schmeichel played. Whereas, and Keane and Giggs and that, because they was classed as foreign, weren't they? So when we like went to Nou Camp in 94 and got battered, we had Gary Walsh in there.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's where a lot of the class of 92 lads got their debut, though, wasn't it? Was because they had to bring English players in.
Yeah. Was it four or five? Was a maximum three? Of the squad?
Three,
no,
I think.
In the squad.
All right, three in the starting 11, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could have three on the pitch.
Madness. Yeah. So it's like, we have to sit out like half off Cantona, Hughes, Irwin, Keane, Giggs, Schmeichel.
Well, look at it today. If they said it today, that way, yesterday's team.
United would do better than most.
Yeah, United would do better than most. But you pick it out of that team from yesterday, you're going to struggle.
Spanish goalkeeper, right back, can play Ashley Young, Phil Jones, Luke Shaw. So you got three, your back four's English.
Marley. Could come in.
Yeah, Smalling could play.
Rashley.
Midfield. Who played midfield? Matic, Herrera, Pogba. All right, none of them are playing. Although, with the way class is now, I think Pogba counts as homegrown, so that's happy days.
But and then, a stay. No,
you've got to play whatever in whatever. So I think he counts because he'd left here at 18, I think. Don't quote me on that. And then up front, Tony Marshall might count as well because he came here at 18. It's under 21. It's under 21.
To look at these foreigners, though, wouldn't they? I started this a long time ago with Arsenal. How was happening? Fiera played for France. He was born in Africa.
Yeah.
And a lot of them did, was.
Yeah. Well, is it Zidane? Is he Algerian or Moroccan?
I think he's Algerian. Yeah.
Played for France.
Yeah. But I don't know what. I don't
and
know.
And by the way, we've got one.
Born or whatever. There.
England's got one. With Sterling.
He was born in Jamaica.
Born in Jamaica.
So I think it's when you move, isn't it?
No. Well, why should that matter?
I think it's... You
used to play where he was born, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, he was 4 years old when he came over here, Sterling. Mm. From Jamaica. Now, if they say, oh, yeah, well, it was the Commonwealth or something like that, whatever. Jesus, well, we can pick Australians, New Zealand, Americans...
Canada.
Americans. Yeah. That was 1774. I don't think we're getting that one through.
It was Commonwealth. It was painted red once.
I don't even think you can remember that.
It was pink on the map.
When I was a kid, it was.
Right then, let's stack them up. So what's the best United team of all time?
What, 11?
No, that 11, you're never answering that. Because I think we've spoke about this before. You've got to do it by decade, really. Your best 11s. Because how can you leave, like, Edwards or Charlton or whatever out? You try and pick your forward line. You've got Ronaldo, Cantona, Lawman. Rooney's got arguably a shout of being in there. Van Nistelrooy. You know what I mean? Taylor, Van Persie. Forget it. I think you've got to go by decade. I think picking a multi-generational 11 is just not feasible. I mean, for starters, who's the best goalkeeper we've ever had?
Van der Sar.
Probably Schmeichel.
Well, there you go. Where's David De Gea stick him in this? He's not won as much as the other two, but...
But he's probably been more valuable.
He's probably had more work to do.
Well, he's definitely had more work to do. Yeah, and he's probably been more valuable than, points-wise, than Schmeichel and Van der Sar.
Yeah.
He's kept him in games, won him games.
Yeah.
So
that's, I mean, that's the three, isn't it? How far is Stepney off them, do you reckon? Friend of the show.
No, he was great at his time. that's what you can always say, isn't it? You can always say it about all goalkeepers. At his time, he was the best.
I think it's the same in any position.
Yeah.
I think you can go through a team like that.
Well, it's really, it's coming back to what you said. You can only do it by decades.
By decades, yeah. So,
well, football evolves. I phoned you, didn't I? Like, I think it was on the one of the anniversaries of the 68 Cup Final. And MUTV played it in full. I phoned George Best shit, Dad. Like, proper shit. Like, he was doing the maddest shit. Like, if you watch that, you see highlights, you go, he's incredible. He's unbelievable. He's on another planet.
Yeah,
beating players like
game.
Nothing. Yeah, you watch the whole game. And I did. And you watched, and I'm started doing more of it and trying to find more footage, but it's hard because some of the footage looks like it's recorded on potatoes. But you go and watch it. There was, in the 68 Cup Final, right, he's the only one who looks like he's been told he's allowed to run. He looks like he's playing against walking football teams. Like, no one goes to him. No one presses him. He has a couple of decent runs, but there's at one point, and I think it's in the first 15 minutes or something of the game, someone plays a ball out to him on the right side. It's second half, actually. So it might be early on in the second half, because we're going to the right. We start going to the left, don't we? So we're going to the right. Someone plays a ball to him. There's no one in the same postcode as him, and he just kicks it out for a throw-in. And you go, and that was when I phoned you. And I was like, what is this? The shit that I go on about Ashley Young about, George Best is doing here, like... fuming. So the game's obviously evolved. I mean, if you look at one thing I tried to get Instat to do, and I'm probably going to get them to do it at some point, is to code the game, where they track the runs of the players, they look at the sprints, they look at the distance covered and stuff like that. Because I think comparing that to like a modern day European Cup final, you know, a game at the top level, would be mint. Just to see, you know, how many passes are played then versus now. How much distance is covered then versus now? Because when you look at some of them games, they was walking, weren't they?
You know, the thing about that, what you were just saying then, it would be a good idea, if, you know, these stats they have, that they have stats like that, where you're right, you've been a right pillock, you know, you've kicked the ball out of play for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Things
yeah.
like that. Mistakes.
Yeah.
It'll bring the players on as well. They won't do that again. It was in the paper last week for doing that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
it's an idea.
I think that's why the game has gone up the way it's gone up, because of people bringing data in and analysing it and things like that.
They don't put that on, did they?
No.
Get the ball out of play for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, in
well, it never makes a highlight, does it? That's why I've never seen it. You know, I can tell you every blade of grass that they cover for them four goals in the 68 Cup final. Obviously, it was years and years before I was even born, but I've seen them so many times.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen this. It was like, honestly, just no, under no pressure. There wasn't injured or anything like that. Just really bad control, and then launches it into touch, and you're like, the fuck was that? But there was a few instances of it. Like, you know, he goes, he liked the drop the shoulder to sprint, didn't he? And there's a couple where he's miscontrolled it and then just stopped, and the ball's like just rolled away. I mean, even Ryan Giggs, called Ryan Giggs a teapot, you know, like the ball comes a foot away from him and his hands on his hip, shaking his head like, that wasn't right to my foot, lad. But you forget about those things, don't you? And I think that's one of the problems of the modern game is, George just reminded me of, there was a series on Fantasy Football League called Pele was Shite. Do you remember that? So Fantasy Football League used to have a series called Pele was Shite. And it was like three or four clips of Pele just like ballooning it. Because you don't see those things. People don't pull them things up.
No.
Like, but nowadays...
If you only watch highlights... If you only watch highlights, obviously now, at best.
Yeah.
Law.
You know, well, don't
show me the times when he wanted Christmas and New Year off and he's leathering someone up the back.
Law. But you wouldn't have had people, because of the access to how easy it is. People making these low lights.
Yeah, when a kid was due. Yeah.
People have these low lights, don't they? Like, they'll have all these bad touches by Lukaku and they'll make compilations of them. You couldn't have done it in the 60s, the technology wasn't available.
Yeah.
But if people did...
That'd be good. Unbelievable shot, Bobby Charlton. So unbelievable goals.
Yeah.
But how many times he hit that scoreboard?
Yeah. Unbelievable. And cleared the ground.
Cleared the ground, yeah.
Yeah, put it out. Put scoreboard it out the open end.
That's
yeah.
the thing. That's me and Jay was talking about this on the way down, actually. We were talking about the expected goals. Expected goals is fantastic. People try and use it to predict a game. And I think that's a bit woo. It's a bit like...
cards.
Like, it's like... tarot reading, do you know what I mean? Mm. But I think when you look retrospectively, when you use expected goals, so what expected goals is, they've churned tens and tens of thousands of shots, and they look at everything that relates to a shot. So what was the position of the defence in front of the striker? Was he in front of the defence? Was he behind the defence? Was he one-on-one? What's the position of the keeper? And they assign that a percentage chance of going in. Rashford's goal against, was it Fulham the other week?
Which one?
The near post one where he shot from quite far out. Yeah. That had like a 2% chance of going in.
Oh, the last goal.
The one that he side foots at the keeper had a 56% chance of going in. Should have scored that, shouldn't have scored that. It just gives you an idea of should they have scored that or shouldn't they have scored that. And if your goalkeeper's saving loads of 50 and 60 and 70% chances, he's out of this world, which is kind of what De Gea was doing last season. He saved us loads when the opposition should have put that away. Arsenal especially had.
Yeah.
They should have had a few goals and he saved them. I don't like predicting using expected goals, but looking back at expected goals, and I think that's really bringing the game on because people are seeing that, actually, I've got a 1% chance of scoring out here, but if I carry the ball another 10 yards, now I'm talking about a 50, 60% chance of scoring. And I think that's really brought the game on. It'd be interesting to see what Bobby Charlton's expected goals probably was.
Don't forget.
Some of them shots.
They wouldn't give him a percentage because he used to shoot them anyway. Unbelievable.
But it was easier. You know, you think back to when it was the open end, scoreboard end. Hardly any cover on that pitch. It was like a bog. So it was easier for Charlton to run onto something and hit it instead of trying to carry it.
But if we broke our foot.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean.
The old leather ball and everything.
You know, it was a heavy ball. Pitches was like a swamp. I mean, it was easier. And yeah, best stayed wide because that was the strip of grass. The rest of it was forget it, wasn't it? It was just a mud bath.
So go on then, what was the best team? What's the best team that we've ever seen?
Best team ever seen.
That we've got. What's the best United team that's ever took to a pitch?
It's got to be 99, hasn't it?
99, they're in the mix. 08 in the mix.
No, I've got 99. Only because when I said 68, and I was talking about the youth, just think of the youth they had in the 99 as well.
That's what I mean. You went 68 and 99. Well, 68 and 99, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Busby did it through necessity, really.
They had a few in 2008, didn't they?
It was only a few, but we did have a few.
But he had a few. You know, when you think about them teams with the youth in it, and everybody says you've got, they usually say you've got to buy,
yeah,
else you won't win nothing. Famously said on television, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They win nothing with young lads.
Nothing with kids.
Yeah.
Alan Hansen.
Alan Hansen, yeah.
He was not correct.
It's unbelievable the sides he had out.
It's the same thing, isn't it? You know, coming up to 68, after 58, coming up to 68, they want the money around, they want the players around, so that, out of necessity, they have to have a strong youth team. Busby built a strong youth philosophy.
Well, luckily, he had one in the 50s, and luckily he was doing it again.
Yeah. It was still ongoing.
Because they came into the side, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was the older youth team after the crash, but it was no good. They needed another couple of years, 2 or 3 years.
Instead of being thrown in.
Yeah. So going from the 68 team to that mid-70s team, what do you think it was that caused the collapse? Because it's actually eerily similar. The collapse we're seeing now 5 years post Fergie's retirement could be seen as, you know, the last league win could be looked at like the European Cup win when Fergie walked out. Did Matt basically switch off after winning the European Cup?
No doubt about that. I think he'd say that himself. That's what he wanted to win, and that's what he'd done. And I don't think he collapsed. He still thought he brought good managers in.
Yeah.
You know, old Farrell and all them people. He thought he was doing right.
Yeah.
You know, like Fergie finished now, but he thought he was doing right. He recommended Moyes.
Yeah. It just gets too big for him, doesn't it?
How much of it is on the team that's left, though? Because by the sounds of it, Craren was on his way out. Charlton was on his way out. Yeah. Best it was literally age. Out.
Yeah, but so. it was similar to when Fergie called it a draw. You know, how he got that side to win the league, I don't know. Because that was past its best, that side. Yeah, we had Van Persie for a year. And that won. You know, what he can contribute, he got you the league, all right, 12 points, but that helped that last year. But the rest of it was Ferguson. That was Fergie's factor that dragged that team to that title.
It was also managing. I think where Moyes really screwed up is he had a lot of older players and Fergie knew how to get the best out of them. Rio didn't play 10 consecutive games. He might play two or three and have a break. And you see a lot of Johnny Evans in that last season for that reason, just giving him that spell.
I think he slipped up. I mean, don't forget that I wanted Mourinho in straight away.
I'd say I think Mourinho probably could have done it. Because he does manage older players really well.
But I think also, generally, he might have had the brains. Oh, I shouldn't say that really, but the thought that I've got, he shouldn't have changed the side at all. He should have given it another 2 months. And then changed it. He changed it straight away.
Miles.
Yeah, he put Nanny. He was finished Nanny when he with Fergie.
By the way, drink or something.
Yeah.
he was finished with Nanny. And he was going to buy him, wasn't he, for Evan?
Right.
He put him in.
He also gave Rooney a 5-year contract when he was arguably a little bit past his best as well.
Well, I don't think he was past his best then.
Don't think?
No. He's playing right now.
He's playing in fucking America.
I know. Have you seen his moves and all that?
Yeah, he does look better.
He looks good.
Best I ever seen Rooney was 2012 when he scored that over a kick.
That was 2010, I think, or 2011.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're only talking 2 years later, you know, now. We're only talking 2 years after that. He was all right. He was playing well then.
Still on time. Yeah. Keep on time.
Is that a vodka?
Yeah. Need some.
So you're not having that then? So is that it? Just it's as simple as that? Was 99? In fact, I'm going to carry on Busby before we go back to that. So do you think because he was... Because there was an element of this with Fergie as well to an extent. I don't think he moved Rooney on, and he tried to as he left, but there was players he didn't move on in. Giggs and Scholes, didn't really replace those. Rio, Vidic, Evra, didn't really replace those.
He'd call it staying loyal, wouldn't he?
Yeah. But was that the same with Busby?
Staying loyal to them.
Did Busby do that with Charlton and Best and Law to an extent and Crerant?
I think Busby was tired.
Yeah.
I really do. He was dead in a crash, when you think about it. And this is 12 years later, isn't it? You know, when he finished about 70. It was 12 years later. I think he'd had it. You know, he got to that cup.
He'd done what he wanted to do. He achieved what he wanted to do.
I think he'd have gone before that.
If they'd have won it before.
No, if the crash hadn't happened, I think he'd have gone before that.
He'd have won it before that.
Yeah. Oh, they'd have won it that year, I think. 58, but I think he'd have gone by that time. 1970 to him after that crash.
Yeah, a lifetime away, wasn't it?
Jesus.
What did he do there? 24, 25 years he ended up doing?
Well, he was there in 45,
wasn't he? 45, 46 he started, didn't he? He signed on in his army uniform.
Yeah.
So his contract signing photo was him in his army uniform.
Yeah, 25 years, wasn't he?
20 odd years, yeah.
Yeah. Similar, isn't it, to Fergie?
Ferguson, yeah.
It's unbelievable, really.
Two managers spanned 50 years of this club's history.
Since the last one, which is only 70 years.
Not many in between.
No. Well, there was a lot, but you all forget it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Paul Farrell.
Who was the best of the rest? The Doc?
You could argue Doc or Atkinson.
And is there something to be said about, and what we've just seen this weekend as well with Ollie? Is there something to be said about this club needs in its DNA someone, maybe not with the tactical nous, someone like you and what Ollie's just done, what Big Ron did, and what the Doc did? Because you've said to me in the past...
Who's the Doc?
Tommy Docherty. You've said to me in the past about Ron Atkinson didn't necessarily have tactics. He just was like...
Go play.
It sounds like the Doc was very simple.
What's the thing with Busby? Used to stand outside the dressing room door, didn't he? Jimmy Murphy or whoever would be in the dressing room, he'd stand outside the dressing room door, the bell would go, they all come flying out, enjoy the game. That was it.
That's the last thing
he said to every player, he'd disappeared down the
top. I heard he said to him once, we taught you how to play football. You've been here for 4 years or whatever you've been, and we taught you how to play football. Go and play football.
And do you know what, as much as that sounds like bollocks, Stepney told us when we were sitting here, I was like, what was the tactical sort of setups that you had? And he said, well, before the 68 final, he said to Nobby Styles in the tunnel, or you're marking Eusebio, which is literally as close as you can get to someone marking Cristiano Ronaldo at the moment. World Player of the Year, you know, absolute goal machine, Portuguese. Yeah. And that was it. That was the tactics. Are you kidding me? That was literally all we did for tactics.
Yeah. Won't play football.
Yeah, he said, that's what he reckons, isn't he? He said, oh, I'll play football, go play it. It's like what I think has happened to Mourinho. He didn't let him.
They didn't let him play.
He didn't let him play football.
I think that's pretty obvious now. And I bought into it. I bought into, like, he was saying this team isn't good enough. And you look at the defence, your defence isn't good enough. He doesn't stack up to any of the rest of them.
How did that work out?
But the attack. Like,
this year, it had the least goals against.
Last year.
Last year we did
it's
really
this
well.
This year, that. It's a new mate.
Yeah. But it's this season,
6 months ago,
we've already conceded more than we did in the whole last season. But trying to play defensively.
There's no wrong with it.
Yeah, but isn't that...
We're a top-heavy team, though, aren't we? So play to its strengths.
Yeah, midfield and attack. You know, we'll destroy anybody.
These goals, we saw that this weekend.
So why do you want to hold the ball in your half? Why can't we hold the ball in their half and play football in their half? Surely that's protecting your iffy defence.
Yeah.
If you're playing in their half, they're 70, 80, 90 yards away from your
goal.
There
was times, though, I could see when they would come at us and we'd only have the two centre-halves in our half, I could see Mourinho having kittens with that.
Yeah,
but they dealt with it. Well, they did deal with it. They only scored off a penalty, didn't they? So.
You way up. Pre-Mourinho, Van Gaal. Well, we've been watching games now for the last few years, in the top end of that Stretford end. It was football by squares.
It really was.
You know, they'd come across the pitch.
I can't remember which defender it was.
Blind was the main one.
No, there was one of them come out. It might have been Smalling. He said he bollocks you if you're like a foot out of where you should be on your grid.
This particular one I'm going to talk about is Blind and Smalling. And Blind took it up to the halfway line and it was like a force field. He got to the halfway line, passed it sideways, passed it to his right, and then was like that, looking at the line and went, and backpedalled. Smalling did exactly the same. He took it, but he went right with it. Hmm. But it was like individual. That's your square. That's
it really,
your square.
That's
your square.
Actually how it was. But yesterday you saw Lindelof.
From up there, you had a perfect view of it.
We see Lindelof, didn't we, yesterday?
The forwards didn't they? Hmm. They didn't go back after it, over the halfway line either.
No.
So if he was struggling over there, you didn't go to him, did he?
He was everywhere. Like, I wish I could show you the maps of where everyone was yesterday. Jesse Lingard pretty much owned every blade of grass yesterday. And there was a point at some point yesterday with Lindelof plays a through ball through and nearly sets Rashford up for a goal. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but he'd also carried it 60 yards.
That's what I mean.
He
was in the final third, playing balls, centre half.
Yeah. Carrying it, taking it to him.
So is there something to be said that maybe in the DNA of this club? Because actually, Fergie didn't start off like this. Fergie nil-nilled and 1-0'd his way through the first 4 or 5 years, didn't he?
He was famous, wasn't he?
He was bad. Yeah. There was no doubt about it. Yeah. I was at a sportsman's dinner when he hadn't won anything and he'd been there 5 years. And you can imagine a sportsman's dinner. There was half City and half United there in Ashton there.
Can I just say, how absolutely batshit crazy it is that the manager of Manchester United would be doing sportsman's dinners now while he was manager?
Yeah.
How insane is that?
That's what it says.
And actually asking questions of the fans. Has anyone got any questions for me? Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is a few, mate. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You
should have heard the City fans with him. But in the end, it was great. And in the end, he just said, well, give me about 2 or 3 years. Some daft question had been asked him. Give me 2 or 3 years and it'll answer itself. And he won it next year, the FA Cup, and then the European Cup winners.
Yeah. And then the league.
And then the league. Off you go.
Off you go.
Yeah. But he went into Busby, didn't he? And said, I think I better go.
And he said, yeah, he said, you're not reading the papers, are you?
He said, yeah. He said, why? And he said, well, the papers, this and the papers. He said, you don't read papers, eh? Go on, son, as he called everybody. Go on, son. Carry on.
There's some mad interviews kicking about with Busby. And there's some really mad ones where you think, I can't believe. Most of them seem to be when he retired. He seemed to do the circuit.
He retired then, wasn't he? When Fergie was there.
He seems to. There. Done the circuit a little bit of like Parkinson and stuff like that when he finished. And all the like interviews that he did, you know, talking about the crash really candidly and stuff like that, it's pretty spine tingling to actually watch him have to talk about it. Mm. Yeah, it's unthinkable, isn't it, really?
I think he'd have been able to go to 70, you know, after that crash. Yeah. I do, really.
Right, I'm going to get some of the questions people have got for us in here then. So, will Ollie be the manager next season? What do you reckon?
Probably not.
No, I think it's because of United as well. I don't think it matters what he does. They're all for a name.
Yeah, they don't need it. That they or the shareholders need a name. Or the share price needs a name.
And I think they should. They got a Scotsman with Busby, and they got a Scotsman with, and in other words, a British man. Put it that way. I think we should be looking here if they don't have Ollie.
Who?
Dyke.
Sean Dyche.
Burnley. Look at what he's done.
He's done a great job. I think Eddie Howe's done a great job. But
no, yeah,
I think Ollie's got the character.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. If they're going to get rid of Ollie for whatever reason, they should be looking.
I think it'll be Poch. I don't necessarily want it to be. I mean, Ollie's already won as much as he has.
Again, he's going into a battle with Levy again. And every time we've gone in a battle with Levy, we get spanked.
Yeah.
You know, he's done us with Carrick. He's done it with God knows how many different players we've taken from Tottenham. We've paid over the odds for them. Mm. That's a businessman. And Levy is a good businessman. And if we think we're taking Pochettino off them, maybe for 40 million, think again. He wants to get some of that stadium money back. You'd be paying more than.
What could Ollie do to keep the job? What do you reckon, Jay?
I think he has to finish top three.
Top three? Not even top four?
No, I think
top four's an ask.
Yeah, I know. I think if he finishes top four, then he's got to go to the semis in the Champions League.
So if you did that, if you got top four and semis in the Champions League, and we're playing the football like we saw this weekend, the noise to keep him will be loud.
And the noise to keep him would. And if we're playing like we're playing yesterday, obviously after a couple of training sessions, that's the performance it turned out. What happens after two months of training session? You know, we don't know.
It's just they haven't got the time at the moment. Have they got to play these matches now, haven't they?
Yeah.
And he's got to get like that.
He's had 2 days. It looked mint. The change was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. But
has he had two days? Has he had that long?
You know, and half of that was doing interviews for MUTV, wasn't it? So how long has he really had?
Don't forget now, you're on Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Christmas Day's in between. So they'll come in today, they'll be in the pool today, they're not going to play football today.
Kick about tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, they'll train Christmas Eve. They do like an hour, don't they, on Christmas Day.
I think they do a morning and then they disappear for the afternoon.
So then obviously we've got Huddersfield at home Boxing Day, and that's going to be loud.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that, it's going to be mint. It's going to be absolutely banging, in it. And then we've got Bournemouth on a Sunday, so then it'll be a recovery Thursday. He'll have two more training days again. So he'll have six training days going into the Bournemouth game.
Which will be his third game.
Yeah.
Which is daft.
Yeah.
It's mental.
But I'm excited.
But, well, you've got to be excited looking at what we've seen yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not wearing any pants on Wednesday.
Not coming with me on Wednesday.
I'm not saying I expect him to get top three or to get to the semis.
Just win the treble, yeah?
No, but
win the treble. I
don't think he can. I don't think there's anything he can do. I think if there's a, I think there's a deal already been done with somebody.
It smells like that.
Yeah,
it does smell like that.
I thought it was bang on one time with Zidane.
I think it still might be. I think Woodward definitely wants Zidane. Whether or not they can get Zidane, I don't know.
Why not now?
I think it looks like. The word was Zidane wanted the job earlier in the season, but he went, give me time to get someone in January, and that was all I'd heard. I don't know if it was like, if you don't get me in January...
Yeah, he's not
working
there. That's what I mean.
He's taking a picture of himself on hold everywhere.
You know, so if he's available and he wants the job, why is Ollie in? Surely it should have been him. But a thing you picked up on in that press conference the other day, what happened last weekend, because Ollie lives in Norway, But he was at the game on Monday night watching the kids against Chelsea.
No, he watched it on telly. Oh, he wasn't there.
But he said he was there because he was talking to somebody in the stand.
No, I don't think he did. He wasn't there.
And then he came out on Tuesday.
Carrick and Woodward was there. Ollie said watched it on telly, I think. Well, it was a mistranslation.
He said he was talking to someone at the match. He said, could I watch Mason Greenwood?
Yeah, he watched it on telly. He also said... He knows all about the youth because he watches them, because he's been trying to get Nicky Butt to let him have some on loan.
Yeah.
So that's good. And you know, he said he watches every match like a fan, and that's good. Now, looking back, and I don't know how public this was. I hope I'm not getting no one in the shit here, but whatever, it's happened anyway now, isn't it? So he was at the Young Boys game at home, and he pulled aside a couple of our players. And I don't want to say who, because it proper gives away who told me. But he pulled aside a couple of our players, and had a word with them. Just a quiet little word in his ear. And he was, I don't know if it was a dressing room or a player's lounge that he went into. But Jose let him. Probably wasn't thinking he was replacing him in a couple of weeks' time, I imagine. But the fact that he was at the Young Boys game and he was allowed to go mingle and talk to the players afterwards. I mean, I guess he's a club legend, so that's always going to happen anyway. But the fact that he was at that game, I just wonder, was there a thought then?
Well, I don't think it means a lot, because how many times has ever been sat next to Woodward in the last few weeks?
I believe he's coming back to the club as well. I don't know if it's part of this regime or Summer's new regime, but I know he's coming back to the club.
But I mean, that's open. That's, you know, set the rumour mill going on it, because he's been pictured sat next to Woodward.
Don't think he's in charge of cooking
away and home games.
Top five players you've ever seen.
United or just ever?
I'm going to assume United.
Right.
Yours is probably going to be pretty obvious.
So, Ronaldo.
Ashley Young.
Ronaldo, Van Persie. I'd say, obviously, everyone loves Ronaldo. And behind Ronaldo, it's Van Persie for me. I was just proper obsessed with him as a kid. Berbatov. So that's three. And then two more. I'd probably, to be honest, like, that I've seen in my time, like, watched live. Probably Tevez. And, yeah, no. and Van der Sar.
What's yours?
Dennis Law. Best. Ciao. Cantona and Robson.
Just pop.
You won't believe it. Best Law Charlton, Duncan Edwards. Does it matter after that? Best Law Charlton, Duncan Edwards. Yeah, Ronaldo.
Got a fifth?
That's a fifth.
That's five.
That was five.
Best Law Charlton, oh, yeah,
Duncan Edwards.
So it's the four Ballon d'Or winners and a lad who comes second in a Ballon d'Or. Can't really argue with the logic.
Well, there's a thousand, isn't there? You know, you couldn't go on.
Well, I'll do favourite player next, because I think a lot of people's like...
That was my favourite players.
No, tell me the best you've seen.
Oh, the best that I've seen? Ronaldo, Van Persie, Van der Sar, De Gea, and Rio.
The best I've seen, I think Ronaldo.
I think Ronaldo, you know, if you're looking at best or favourite or whatever.
He's going down as one of the top all-time ever for
Ronaldo's
every club.
Ronaldo's got to be high up on anybody's list.
Yeah. Ronaldo's in the mix, undoubtedly. After that...
It'd be unbelievable, them five playing together anyway, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
You want to hear defence?
Beckham. Beckham's criminally underrated because people consider him a bit of a, you know, a bit of a showbiz thing, but as a footballer, he was top draw. He was the best player in the world in 99, and I'll fight anyone who says otherwise. It wasn't Rivaldo. He didn't get out of the group. Imagine winning a Ballon d'Or now and not getting out of the group. Unheard of nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't know if I truly believe Cantona was the best to go in this list, or if I just love the guy. He's in the list. He's going down in the list.
But you could go with fives forever, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Have them.
Who's your favourite ever player?
Well, Edwards and me, innit?
Yeah.
Mine's Van Persie.
Really? Favourite ever United player is Van Persie.
And he comes second with me, he's Jalen. He's an unbelievable player, Jalen.
My second, Ronaldo.
Dennis Law.
Favourite. Where's Robbo come in this?
You'd have to go a long way to the other side, all the other players first, wouldn't you?
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think he's up there with all them lot?
He's up there with the greats, but he, you know, to go right through United's team since 45, Jesus, it'd be hard to put him in.
Cantona is my favourite. Evra's very, very, very close to him on that. Beckham's in there. It's just pure favourite. I think
look at him.
Ollie's one of a lot of people's favourites.
Can you say anyone current, do you reckon?
Roy Keane.
He started changing United, didn't he? Roger Boone.
If Marcus does 1,000 appearances,
captain of England and then United.
No, because like
he's a kid, really.
Like I'm not joking. Like honestly, favourite it's Van.
Giggs and Scholes are in the mix, you know.
Favourite is Van Persie, then Jesse, and then Marcus. They come before Ronaldo because I don't know why I was just proper obsessed with Van Persie, and I feel like homegrown. You got a proper connection with someone.
No, if Marcus breaks one of the records.
Even,
he's young enough.
Even from what they've done now, I just love him.
If you get a manager that scores goals and trusts him.
Well, let's him play.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Let him play. He'll get chances. You know, Marshall will get chances. Lingard will get chances. Pogba's playing further up the pitch. He'll get a chance. I mean, it's a fantastic save from each today.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to open up so many avenues. If you're playing that way,
yep.
Go that way, yep. Not that way, or that way.
Well, it's the reason why City have scored so many goals, and some of the players in that City team have all got, you know, 15 goals, 20 assists, and etc. Yeah. This United team can do the same.
Exactly. If they're allowed to play.
Biggest rival?
Liverpool. It's Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool, yeah.
I think that proved it when Gerrard said to let City win the league, and we celebrated. And that must have well hurt City fans. That we give so little fuck about them that we're just happy Liverpool don't win it. Unfortunately, all the nightmares could come to roost this summer. Leeds could get promoted back to the Premier League. Okay. Liverpool could win it. And City could win a Champions League.
See, I've never like understood the rival between Leeds. I think that was a bit before my time. Just like a good
it's probably a bit before my time, really. There was obviously pretty good rivals early 90s. But then they fell off after the ITV Carlton
80s,
thing, wasn't
80s
it?
Was the main one.
Was it 70s? Dirty Leeds?
Oh, Leeds then, but Liverpool started like 80s.
Oh, God, yeah.
Obviously, when they started their period of domination, if you like, all the European Cups, the leagues.
Oh, they were brilliant, though, weren't they?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
But we always give them a good game.
Yeah.
I reckon
we got a ball with them.
I reckon our five biggest rivals are the five teams I hate most. Liverpool, City, Arsenal. And to be honest, I don't hate anyone else, but I reckon our biggest rivals are them three, and then Chelsea and Tottenham. I'm not really sure about Tottenham.
No, I don't really give a shit about Tottenham.
No, me neither. But I just think because they are getting...
Arsenal was, over the Premier League era, you know, Fergie Wenger era was a good rival, wasn't it?
I don't like Arsenal fans.
And the battles that they've had.
Yeah, but they come behind...
On the pitch. Battles.
They come behind Liverpool, yeah. Leeds and City.
Yeah.
Probably in that order. Yeah. Even though Leeds have kind of been off the boil for a bit, but they double hate us more than, like...
Oh, yeah.
I think they hate United more than they support Leeds.
Well, that's 90% of the football going public.
Now, we've already decided he didn't have a fucking clue when his first game was. Because he used to say it was the 67 game, you said it was 65. So
67 was the one I remember.
Right, well, there we go.
Yeah, so, we've been talking before then.
What was the first game you can remember going? Because I took him at 14 months. There's no way he's remembering that.
No, he wasn't doing that.
First game I remember is the 67 one.
Hey?
It's the 67 one.
What was that one?
It's 0-0 against Stoke when we won the title. They won it the week before.
Yeah. You remember it because you remember him second the trophy round or something?
I remember the game.
Yeah.
It was 0-0. It was a bit boring, but...
Was it in black and white?
<I'm going after.
was the Hovis music playing in
there. Yeah, we started taking you know, about 4 or 5.
I can't remember.
Oh no, it's probably about, but it was definitely in 5 anyway. Because we started taking you, he was building a stand for the 66.
World Cup.
Yeah. And we could walk in and out because we were doing the lift, weren't we?
Yeah.
And yeah, we started taking you in 5 definitely.
Do you remember your first game? That was definitely in black and white.
It was.
Definitely. Didn't invent colour till the 80s.
You don't remember colour, do you?
What?
Coming out.
I had a black and white telly in my room.
I watched United. Like
5 or something.
No, I didn't. Blackpool I watched. Cup final in your colour. 53.
Was that at the cinema?
Oh, no television. Well, in our house, mind you.
What's the first game you actually remember? Is that, was that cup final in 48?
No, no. I don't think it was televised. But I remember seeing the team come down. It's the team on the open top bus. I was sat on my dad's shoulders.
That was in 58. 48.
I was about 6, yeah. Well, I was 6. Yeah, and I was on my dad's shoulders. And the open top bus come past. No, I went to Blackpool, didn't I? Blackpool in Old Trafford. Got beat by Blackpool.
That was the first game.
Well, that was a big.
Do you remember it?
No, really. No, I always remember it. Peter saying, Jack Rowley, because Jack Rowley lost Jack Rowley. He was scoring a bit of dollars. Johnny Carey.
Did he go before you?
Oh, yeah, he's 2 years older than me.
So he was going a bit before?
He took me, that's it. Yeah, that's the first match I know about, anyway.
Can you remember Old Trafford at the time? Was that white picket fence Old Trafford?
Yeah.
An open end.
Open end where the scoreboard was.
Yeah, they had a shed where the first cantilever stand was, facing the dugouts. That was a shed. And a main stand, that was it. There was no corners and all like that. It was all open.
All open, yeah.
And the scoreboard up in the air, in the open end.
They didn't have like A, B, C, D for all the corresponding matches in the programme, and then when a goal went in, someone on
no,
it twice.
Only half-time.
Oh, no, oh, half-time.
Only
all right.
Half-time.
Wasn't even live.
Put the scores up.
Just half-time, he put the scores up. Yeah.
Yeah, man made his little board.
Yeah, who can him on, yeah.
That's half-time entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, look and see who's doing what.
Did you have a rattle?
I had a rattle early on,
and a rosette?
No. Got a scarf. Scarf and a rattle, yeah. You had to have a rattle.
You had to make noise.
Had someone with that.
Is that one of them annoying, like...
Since people taking selfies is annoying, fucking hell, we're on. Why don't you shut up without your dick? Imagine trying to take one in now.
It was great for hitting someone. You start shouting, don't you?
What was Stretford in then? Was that just an open back? When did the roof go on it?
That was a long time. They had the World Cup, 66 World Cup stand. And then it just started at bits and pieces, didn't it? The main stand come round a bit.
They had a roof on them.
Where?
The roof was on the Stretford End then. Roof was on the Stretford End in 66. 65, 66.
No, I don't think so.
Was it?
It might have been. It might have been.
But there's none. Yeah, because you had that open bit of the corner from the new stand, then the open
bit. Yeah, it was
bit.
The corners always got filled in last, didn't it?
Yeah, because in the rain, wasn't it? And then you came the roof of the Stretford End, come round to the main stand, and then stopped at the end in the corner, and then you started the open bit of the scoreboard end.
You might as well have been open
just
anyway.
Shot off the other corner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The cantilever corner. That was just straight down.
Yeah.
And then
but you know when they were before the cantilever? The shed?
Yeah.
You might as well have been open anyway.
Yeah,
the roof was
right.
That high. It just...
It was blew right.
Yeah. But it was packed. Not to try to get in at the back of it. Yeah, if it was raining, everybody packed into that. Because you could walk right round, you know.
Oh, you're on the ground?
Couldn't you?
Yeah.
You actually still can now if you know the little doors to mooch around in. You can get from the Stretford.
On the concourse?
I can get from the Stretford. Not actually, that's a lie. I can't do it from the top tier. But you can actually get to the bottom tier from the top tier. But you, if you're on a Stretford and bottom tier, you can just walk round to East End.
Yeah.
Yeah. East Stand's a bit blocked off because of where the away fans. Yeah, because the East Stand.
You go North Stand way.
The away fans are blocked in. You can't really get around there.
You
had the main stand that you couldn't get in.
Yeah.
You could walk anywhere other than that.
Yeah, it was that, wasn't it? You had the main stand there, but you could go right round the other side.
Everyone, the three sides.
But
when I'm talking about going home, that's all it was that shed. There was nothing over the Stretford end or the school board, no corners or anything.
No,
just a one main stand. Yeah, with all the directors was in right in the middle.
Yeah, at the main stand.
I don't know if he had season tickets then. I don't know if you even know if they had them.
League match ticket books was the first thing. I don't think he had them.
I think he just paid
them
anyway. It was just
the main stand. We were talking the other day about Stretford, weren't we? Because like, my first memories of going, and the first few years of going, it was still standing the bottom of K stand, and it was still standing the whole Stretford end. And I remember my dad stick me on the railings, bang your legs through the railings, all onto your railings with your little Man United on the knuckles gloves, probably in summer, and watch the match through there. And it wasn't even red. It was like this weird burgundy colour on it, yeah. the railings.
Where was it?
It's bottom of Stretford end.
Oh, all the way around the ground, wasn't it?
The picket fence.
No, this is 99.
After the rain, when they put the fences up, put the railings up.
So there was like a crash barrier you could sit on, and you have your legs dangling through the railings at the bottom of the Stretford end. Like, quite near that open end bit, which is the worst design ever, wasn't it? That gap between North Stand and the Stretford end. Yeah. Bangers on the railings.
Right in the corner, you used to go.
Yeah, I remember. I can actually remember that. Can't remember anything of the games. Can remember the chocolate with the footballs on it, and I can remember like sitting there with my legs dangling through the railings. It must have been like 5, 6. And I can remember, because we were speaking about this the other day, weren't we? In my head, it probably wasn't, but in my head it was like black walls, like really dingy concrete walls, and like single bulb strip lighting in the back of the Stretford end. And I can remember that the plastic pint pots used to have a United badge on them. I'd run around collecting everyone's like empty pints and stuff, like a 5-year-old or something. Because you were talking about, do you remember the like the cagoule things that they used to give us? Because when they did redevelop it, like the difference going from that dark, dingy Stretford end to when they actually reopened it in the first Premier League season, all this like red flooring and bright fluorescent lights everywhere and that. But then giving you them Max to sit in the fucking rain because there was no roof on it, and you needed them Max. You definitely needed them Max. I remember there was loads of games just sitting there, piss wet through, just like.
What we doing here?
Even the even when we won the first title, that game against Blackburn, we were sat right at the back, and there was only like, what do you reckon it was, 30-40 seats, 30-40 rows maybe, if that. We were sat right at the back, probably a couple of rows just from the back, weren't we? And there was no roof on it or anything. Probably right in the corner where it was when it was standing still.
Further over, yes.
Madness. And to go from that to the size of the place now, because that early 90s, mid 90s when it became the bowl, once they did it all seating in the Stretford, and it looked great, didn't it? When it was all the same, before they banged the North Stand up.
Yeah.
Before, that was for Euro 96, wasn't it? I think it was.
It could have been, yeah.
It looked amazing then, and it was huge. But now if you go to the ground, and you come to the corner of East Stand, that's here. And then the rest of it's up here now. It must look a bit different from where it did in 50.
You know, just repaired it, and it was being bombed. It was bombed, wasn't it? Yes, to play on the main road.
Yeah. What was your pre-match routine when you were going?
Yeah, pissed. Is that the one?
All right, okay, let's move on.
No, I used to meet in town. And,
meet in town, get the match bus.
Yep.
Eight Elm Street.
Ask Jaden to talk about what he thinks or feels when he watched the 99 final. Does it mean anything to you?
Yeah, of course it does.
Just for that, because I think the emotion of like how down everyone was, you're not going to get that. I don't think you're not going to understand how shit we was in that game.
And then just that carnage of the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever watched the full game?
The full game, yeah. But I've watched the last five
minutes.
It's
a terrible game of football.
The last 5 minutes.
It's a shocking game.
I've watched the last five minutes about 40 times.
Oh. I mean, if the truth been on, they should have been over.
Yeah, probably 3-0 up going into that last minute.
Yeah. should have been done, finished. But Fergie rolled his luck.
We had four or five forwards on
at the death.
Yeah.
Just through everything.
I can't remember who the sub was.
Sheringham said, didn't he? Get me on here. Have you seen these people? Their players.
Yeah.
They're walking about going like that to the crowd and everything.
Yeah, I think they won it.
And that's why he wasn't attacking. They could have scored more.
Yeah.
Was it Platini? He was one of the presidents of UEFA. Got in the lift at the top as he was putting Bayern's ribbons on the cup. I don't know if he was with the cup or whatever. Gets in a lift, comes down, comes out, and United have won it.
Get the ribbons off.
Unlucky.
Get them ribbons off that cup.
Didn't they start engraving the name onto it?
No, they're definitely not going to engrave it without it. I think they put the ribbons on it, though.
I think the famous one is Mateus, isn't it? Lothar Mateus.
He's sat in it.
Everyone's back slapping in and he's blowing kisses to everyone as the equaliser goes in. And the camera just goes like that, right on his face, and he's like... And then, whatever, 90 seconds later, you're like that, his head's on the floor, and they just all collapse across the pitch. But he's won it, he's the main man, he's this, that and the other. You know, everyone's leaning over and slapping him, and he's blowing kisses everywhere. And then...
Mateus or Beckenbauer?
No, Mateus, because they took him off.
Right.
They took him off and put another defender on or whatever. And just flooded the box, didn't they, with defenders, just oof it up the pitch, get rid of it.
You can't start celebrating a Champions League final at 1-0.
Well, they, you know...
We were shit.
Because we was crap. You know, we wasn't offering him anything, any danger. That's what they did. Took Mateus off, took another attacker off.
We had two big players missing, didn't we?
Keenan's goals.
Very big players.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a... Who was in midfield? It was Giggs and... it was Blomqvist, Giggs, Butt, Beckham was the midfield, I think.
I know Butt was playing, yeah.
Something like that was the midfield.
But two big players then at that time.
Roy Keane was just about the back end of that season and probably 99-2000 when he shaved his head. When he went shaved head, Roy Keane, and he was like, forget everything and fuck everything.
I mean, he was a brilliant footballer as well, wasn't he? Scholesy. So you got Scholes and him missing. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Forget it.
I wonder if we'd have won it with them. So if everything had gone the way it had gone, would we have beat them in 90 minutes? Would it have affected it out somehow?
I think so, because when you think about it, you just mentioned it, haven't you? Beckham stuck back a little bit, obviously. Them players had gone... He'd been selling him.
Was it
Keane?
Across from Ollie that got the corner?
I don't think that Ollie would be the if Scholesy and Keane started the game. I don't think Ollie would be the manager today.
It's bad, isn't it? Because literally, it wasn't just the fact that he put that goal in. He was loved anyway. He was a fan favourite anyway. Because his attitude was always perfect. But yeah, I mean, well, you can't quite see it, but it's in there. It's a shirt. I mean, from this camera angle, they won't quite see it. It's in that box there. The fact that you score the goal the way you do. I mean, he's probably never had an easier goal to score. It was what a yard out, a foot out.
It was nearly on the line, wasn't it?
And all he's done is just go.
When he hooked it up, he hooked it into the roof. Yeah. I think his foot went over the line when he done that.
I mean, if he's further out, he's missed.
Yeah.
All he's done is just get a deflection on it, essentially, isn't he? There's no technique in there, there's no laces in there, he's just, get on that.
I was helping the landlord out of the pub, and it was packed like. But you wouldn't believe how many had left, you know, about a quarter of an hour ago.
Really?
You know, the commercial. I went and helped Mike out, didn't I, on that night.
99.
Someone gave him his telly as well, was it Aunt Catherine, to put on the stage.
Yeah. Which would have been 15.
Yeah. Yeah, 15, I think.
But I'd say a lot of people, I don't know how many, but a lot of people left about a quarter of an hour ago. Went and that. That was your father was looking at me.
Yeah.
He was right in the corner where he couldn't see any telly. A City fan. You know him very well. I went to Morris, God rest his soul. But anyway, I said, I think we've had it here, Morris. And I looked over and he was laughing his head off at me. And I walked back up the other end of the bar. I was watching the big screen in the vault, like, and they scored. So I said, anyway, Boris, and he just had his head down. We get extra time here, like, you know. I said, well, come round and look. He said, I can see that one on the stage, you know, our Catherine sent down. I said, all right, okay. And I went, by the time I got back, he was ticking the corner, you know, for all to score.
For the winner.
And I run back to go to Boris, and he was going out the door. Huh? You know who I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
He walked out the door. And not even seen the television. Just stood there waiting for us to get beat.
He'd heard the roar, hadn't he?
You knew it was a... It was, they were the same. Your mum came in with winning them. And I looked over, your mum's like that. And all the head downs.
Yeah.
As if they'd lost thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
You know, I would have, obviously. You'd say that to them, wouldn't you? In that situation, you'd say, ah, well done.
We were sitting up a bar with a lot of Germans, me and Stu, and we was 15. We're trying to get away with having a drink. There's a lot of Germans in there, and we was like, do we celebrate if we score?
Where was that?
We was in Ibiza.
In Ibiza.
And then the goal goes in, and didn't even think about... We erupted. There was probably another 20 dotted around in the bar. It was a big place, and then we were sunburnt to death. Stu was really sunburnt. We jumped all over each other, and I was like, and then we get the corner again straight away when it's only just started calming down, hadn't it? By the time the second corner comes in, what professionalism as well from the lads not to let their heads go from that.
Yeah.
And then Stu goes, "We're getting another here."
I said,
"I don't remember what happened after that."
Mike had turned his back. Talking to somebody, I said, "Mike, yeah, we'll get another here," as he was going to set the corner, and he went in, and he jumps all over me, Mike. And he was some white, wasn't he? Jesus.
I'm leaving it on that because it doesn't get better than the 1999 Champions League final, and obviously the guy that's now in charge for at least the next 6 months. But if we start playing regularly like that, and it'd be interesting to see what he does if he can put 5 good games together. I'm very interested to see what he does against Spurs.
About on the way down, and he's got 5 games. All right, a couple of days in.
He's got
three
hit at these 5 games. Free hit at these.
Yeah,
they're all winnable.
Oh, every one. You know, you're going to progress up the league in 4 of them, and you're going to get in the next round of the FA Cup with the other one.
And then you got Spurs. I can't remember if it's home or away.
It's away, isn't it?
Is it? So free hit, and then you've got a big game.
But by then, he's had 2.5 weeks ish. A pretty intense period as well. The lads now know, by then, will know what he's about, what Mike Phelan's about. Because don't forget, a lot of them don't know Mike Phelan.
Nope.
It's Fergie's mate.
1999 to 2013, he was assistant manager or first team coach. Dipped around a couple of roles.
So
we won a bit.
There's not
that
many. Yeah, but there's not that many now. You know, all right, your Carricks are there, but there's not that many there know what he's about.
Mm.
You do now. Now, if they buy into this, then why not? Because that's what you can do.
If we do what we not saying we're going to beat them 5-1, but if we put in that level of performance and get a decent victory, even if it's 1-0, but if we play like we played against Cardiff, against Spurs, and pull a win out, why are we looking elsewhere?
I think going 4-0 against Huddersfield. Okay. 4 or 3.
Why would you go anywhere else?
That's the way people are talking now. I mean, all right, I'll hold my hands up. I had a 5-4-0 last night.
I did a thing for the Sportsman and I said 70-1 it was for United, 5-0.
No. I thought, you know, like I said, when I text you, the post Mourinho effect, when he left Chelsea. The first game after he left Chelsea, they battered Sunderland 5-1. All right, the way it turned out.
Look, I don't think 5-1. Mourinho's necessarily the wrong man. I just think it was the wrong squad for Mourinho at the time. It's just, we've sort of assembled a very attacking team, and it needs a manager with that mentality. And actually, when you look at the way Mulder play, and you know what Ollie thinks about
you
United.
You've got to think about it at all. He got it together. He's put that together. And done nothing with it. Didn't let them play as he picked them.
No.
As he's bought them or whatever.
Well, actually, when the 11 came out, everyone kind of took a took a notch off, didn't it, when the team came out? And yeah, it wasn't totally
team?
Different. It was a Jose team, and everyone was like, I've seen that team play for Jose. I didn't see it play like that, though.
No, you didn't see it play like that. Ever. Play
yeah, like but that's the trouble, isn't it? That's what I say, really. He bought them players, and they're all there now.
And then tied them up.
And then didn't let them play.
Yeah, then tied them up, put the shackles on them. You play this way, that way, that way.
Can we get giddy, then? If we go 6 out of 6 now, can we get giddy?
The place will go giddy. Well, think of the red half of Manchester since last Tuesday.
7-8.
It's just lifted everybody up in the air. You know, the visible git's gone. And we've got a lad who everyone thinks is a legend anyway, has walked in the building.
It was genius from the Glazers.
Talking the
Scholes,
right way as well.
Neville, Keane, all of them that give us shit in the press.
I said that to you the other day, didn't I?
They've all played with him.
Yeah.
And you know they don't slag their mates off.
No.
So, that whether that was a factor that they thought of or that it was a happy coincidence, it's like, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, but you weigh up his...
genius.
You know, his conference with MUTV, his press conference for the Premier League, he's talking the right way.
You could have said it, you could have said it, and he could have said all them things that he said. Talk is cheap. It was nice to actually hear someone say it,
yeah,
but talk is cheap.
We've not heard.
I know.
We haven't heard that for the last 2 and a bit years.
But talk is cheap. What he did yesterday wasn't cheap.
No.
That was breathtaking. And that was absolutely breathtaking.
It's nice to actually see someone that's actually passionate about the club. And the way that, like, Ander Herrera and Ole looked the happiest people in the world when we scored. Instead of just looking up, seeing us score, write something down, he was actually happy, do you know what I mean?
He
celebrated every single 5 goals.
Like the fans were jumping around.
Oh, yeah. Well, like in his interviews that he's done, when he was like, have you seen much of us? He was like, I've seen every game. He's a fan. And like we touched on it earlier, didn't we? And he said, like, what do you know about the academy lads? And he goes, oh, I watch them all the time because I've been trying to get them on loan from Nicky. So, you know, he does know about this. He is going to play the youngsters. I believe over the next month you're going to see a few of them given an opportunity.
Yeah.
But right, I'm going to wrap it up there. Merry Christmas from my family to your family. And I'll see you all at Old Trafford tomorrow on Boxing Day as the second game of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign at Old Trafford continues. Thank you for watching.
Happy New Year.
See you in a bit.
Merry Christmas.